Well, amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it? I tell you, that last song just fits right in with what we're going to talk about this morning. You know, when it says, His face I shall see, and what a day that will be. Praise the Lord. We got it coming. And so I was thinking about this morning, you know, on the way earlier this morning, I thought about a lot of times in life, situations change and things are different. I guess I can talk about this morning, because Melvin's not here. He's the one that's so down on Sand Mountain people, you know. Y'all know how that is. He is so down on Sand Mountain people. Well, you know, I lived on Sand Mountain. I went to Davis High School. Amen. And a bunch of us did. I even graduated from Davis High School, believe it or not. You know, got a diploma. And, you know, that seemed fine. And we was in our own little world out on Sand Mountain, you know. Well, first thing you know, I get a job and go off to Chattanooga and start working in Chattanooga. And, you know, there's a lot of people up there, and some of these people, they went to Lakeview, and some of them went to Baylor, and some of them went to this school and that school. And I noticed something real quick. I didn't have as good an education as they did. Anybody else feel cheated? I mean, probably if I'd applied myself a little bit more, I might could have learned more. But, you know, I got up there in Chattanooga and started talking to a lot of these guys, you know, and I could just tell by the way they talk and situations came up that they'd been taught some things that I'd never even heard about. You know, we're as far back in the sticks, I guess, you know, we just didn't talk about it. And I thought about that, and all through life I've thought back and thought, well, you know, I guess I got slighted a little bit. I don't know what kind of standard. I don't think they even graded schools back then. They grade schools now, you know, give them a grade on how they educate. Back then, I think if they just showed up, you know, that was good. And so I thought about that all the way through this morning and some last night. There's some things we need to know about the Word of God and about the day we will meet Jesus that, as a pastor, I feel responsible to tell you. Now, you may know everything I'm going to preach this morning. I hope you do. But in case you don't, I don't want you to ever come to that day in that situation and say, well, I never heard that. I never heard about that. They never taught us about that. So this morning, we're going to talk about the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to do that, we're going to have to talk about the way He went away to know how He's going to come back. And I want everybody to pay attention to this now. This is going to happen. This is absolutely going to happen. You can read it, Romans 14. It said, every knee shall, Romans, I forgot the chapter, but in verse 14 it said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Amen. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's not talking about me. But, you know, it's talking about everybody. It is Romans 14 and verse 11. That's where that's written. I'm not going there right now. I want to start out with Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 through 11. But now when we start talking about every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, everybody here is going to meet Jesus. Praise the Lord. One way or the other, you're going to meet Him. Now, the first time He is here, I didn't meet Him personally. I didn't see Him face to face. I didn't shake His hand. I didn't. But as this song was singing, you know, He's going to take us by the hand, lead us through the promised land. I hope that's the situation you find yourself in. But when we start talking about the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when it happens, I don't want anybody here to say, I didn't know that. Something we need to know. We need to know that, yes, He is coming because God says it's going to happen. And yes, we are going to face Him face to face. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, when verse 5 is a very interesting thing when it starts talking about let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus had a mind in Him to save the world, to be the Savior of the whole world, to die on the cross of Calvary for the cause of God. And so when we start talking about let this mind be in you, a lot of us are going to have to change our mind if we're going to have the mind of Christ. You know, we're so upset and so carried away with things of the world and the busy activities that go on. Sometimes I don't know that if I always stay in the mind of Christ or not, but I catch myself sometimes reminding myself, saying, you need to get back and think like Christ thought. Christ had a plan. I mean, He had a plan. In verse 6, it said, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We know that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. These three agree in one. And so we don't have any problem understanding that, that he was equal with God. And verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so this was the mind of Christ, that he was going to die on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. When we start talking about this Savior, we have to understand the Son of God, equal with God. And verse 9, wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. You ever think about the name of Jesus? Anybody ever just really think about the name of Jesus, how God exalted and gave him a name above every other name? You know, you can go out in a public place somewhere, and you know, a lot of people buzzing around and a lot of people moving around, and you could curse as loud as you could scream it, and part of them wouldn't even look up. But if you get in that same crowd and yell, Jesus, boy, it'll fall silent. You'll get their attention because that name's above every other name. You've just spoke the highest name under the whole creation of God, Jesus. Because God exalted and gave him a name above everybody else. That name of Jesus, that's why it's powerful. That's why it gets people's attention. So we're looking at this Jesus right now. In verse 10, it said that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, this situation we're looking at, whenever knees shall bow. First of all, it'd be better to confess Jesus Christ right now. That'll get you to heaven. Now, if you're going to wait till he comes back and then have to bow and confess that he's Lord and Christ, it's going to be late. Y'all need to understand about this second coming. When he comes back, it'll be too late to confess it. You're going to confess it either way. So why not do it now? Avoid the rush, you might say. Just avoid the rush. Come on and let's confess it today. And it talks about every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Now, I told you earlier in Romans chapter 14, verse 11, it said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. I didn't miss any of you. Everybody's included. Don't think you're going to get out of it. Don't think, oh, well, he wasn't talking about me. Yeah, he's talking about everybody. He knows you by name. He knows the number of hair in your head. And some of us is easier than others. You know, but this is a reality that we're looking at. So when we start talking about the Lord coming back, first I think you need to know how he went away. Let's look at Acts chapter 1. And I'll start in verse 1. Y'all turn there with me. Let's look at how he went away. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. I'll give you time to turn there. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So you understand, it said until the day which he was taken up, he had given commandments to the Holy Ghost. He didn't leave this work on this earth undone. He gave the commandments to the apostles. He completed what he is supposed to do on earth. Now, he's still Jesus in heaven. He's still working on this earth today. That hadn't changed. He's still in the business. He's just at the right hand of the Father. But in that day, he was still on earth. In verse 3, it said, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so 40 days after the crucifixion, he was seen of these apostles, these chosen, these men that he was going to give commandments to, how they were to carry on the work of God on this earth. And this Jesus, it said in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not many days hence. These apostles had spent time with him. They had walked with him and talked with him and ate with him. And times they spent the night and slept with him and all these things. But he said, don't depart from here until you receive the promise. Now, when I think about this promise, what was the promise? It was going to be the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can read about it in Acts chapter 2. He knew that on their own power, on their own accord, they could not succeed in the work of God without this unction, this power of the Holy Ghost that was going to be given to them not many days in. He said, you know what he said? He said, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. If you've ever been here when I baptized somebody, I put them under. Praise God. I put them all the way under. Sometimes I even get a witness to be sure they don't leave something sticking up because I want them covered up. And the same as the Holy Ghost. You can be baptized, submersed in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, don't depart from here until you receive that promise that I've left you. You can't succeed on your own. You need this power. You need this spirit. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? You know, pretty good question. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. I'm not here to preach the season. I'm not here to preach the hour. I'm here to preach it's going to happen, that the Lord Jesus is coming back. In verse 8, it said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnessing of me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so this is the power of the Holy Ghost working. He said, you're going to receive power that you can be a witness all over the world. We work today sending missionaries all over the world. Everywhere. We've got them scattered all over the place. Thank God for them. That's part of this promise. And I hope they're under the power of the Holy Ghost or they won't be successful. That's what we need to pray for. All of our friends and our loved ones and our neighbors and our church members and our missionaries. That they be baptized in the Holy Ghost. It makes a difference. In verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Everybody mark verse 9. You want to know how he's coming back? Now listen to this. How did he go away? First, you need to know how he went away. Very plain. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He went away in a cloud. Praise God, he's going to come back in the cloud. I hear it preached, it's going to be a bright and cloudless day. That's contrary to Scripture. In verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Two angels showed up, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. You got it? You know how he went away? A cloud received him out of their sight. They stand there gazing up. The angel told them, said, the same Jesus is going to come again in like manner. So you can't ever say that nobody told me. That's not going to be an excuse. I've just told you. According to the Word of God. You don't have to take it my word. It's according to the Word of God. And so now we know how he went away. You understand that day? He's standing there 40 days after the crucifixion, went into heaven to forever be with the Lord. He's at the right hand of the Father today. Now let's look at coming back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Y'all turn there with me. First Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll start in verse 13. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You know, I've preached this a lot of times at funerals. I've talked about this. I would not have you to be ignorant. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I don't know. I don't understand. God said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know. I want you to understand. And he's talking about those concerning those which are asleep. He's talking about the dead in Christ. He's talking about those already passed. But it goes farther. It said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. Now catch that. The ones that sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. It's talking about the second coming. Those that's buried are coming back with him. Amen. There's going to be a resurrection. They're going to come out of the grave. They're going to be with the Lord. He's going to bring them back to this earth. And if we're alive and remain, we'll see it happen. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Thank God for that one verse right there, that nobody's going to prevent those. They can't hinder it. They can't stop it. No way, because it's the power of God. You know, I know some people that's so bitter and so caught up in things in the world, they say, well, let's just deny that, and maybe it's not going to happen. But they got no power over it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now that's the resurrection day. That's when the Lord comes back. He's going to take them out of the cemeteries. Praise God, he's going to take them out of the cemeteries. They're coming up, made in the likeness of Jesus. All that sickness that killed them and put them in the grave, all those cancers, all those heart attacks, all these car accidents that put them in the grave will stay in the grave. Praise the Lord. It'll stay in the grave. That won't pass the grave. When they come up, they'll be resurrected in the likeness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he's not sick. He's got no pain. He's got no aches or throbs like some of us get up with in the morning. And so that's the kind of body they're going to come forward with. Praise the Lord. It's going to be good to see the lame walk and the blind see and the cancer healed and the heart attacks left in the grave. And that's just touching a few things. Verse 17. All right, you see, the dead in Christ is going to rise first. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That verse 17. You just mark it down. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. I've thought about this a lot of times. You can believe what you want, but I believe the Word of God. I believe the dead in Christ is already buried and engraved, coming first. And I believe then we. It's possible if we're alive until the second coming of Jesus, we could see them get up. Your loved one. Oh, by the way, if you just happen to be over the cemetery at the day of the resurrection and the dead in Christ rise first, you can see your loved one get up. Raised in the likeness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not sick anymore. Don't look for some old sick person to come out of the grave. They won't be. Kind of makes me want to just hang out over at Hawkins sometime. Don't y'all? I drive through there every now and then thinking this could be the day I'll see them get up. And then we're going to catch them in the air. So we're talking about how he went away. We're talking about how he comes back. You can't leave here and say, I never heard that. You can't be like me and make an excuse for my education that I never heard that at Davis High School. You're going to hear it at New Salem Baptist Church. This is the way it's taken forth. And then it says, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. Thank God for that. Thank God for these promises. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know, that ought to bring comfort to anybody. To know that we've got a promise from God that the Lord went away. We know how he went, received into a cloud. We know how he's coming back. We've got the promise of his coming. We've got the promise of the resurrection. We've got the promise of those that who remain and alive until the second coming are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds A lot of the people that have gone and departed from here, I thought about just the people from this church. I thought about the many funerals I've done since I've been here. Many people. I thought the next time I'll meet them be in the clouds. Praise God, we won't have a care one. We won't have a problem one because we're on the way to forever be with the Lord. And I'm going to see a lot of people. That'll be my first time to see them the second time unless I happen to be there when they get up. James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 7 and 8. You can read this in 1 Peter chapter 3. You can read this in a lot of places about the Lord coming back. James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Be ye patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord, because the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. So it's comparing as a crop growing. And you know, it talks about that we have to have patience in it. And it said, waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. You know, that's God's word calling us precious fruit of the earth. You know, it spoke of early this morning about good fruits and bad fruits and having fruits for the Lord. And God is comparing us to a precious fruit of the earth. Then in verse 8 it said, be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Everybody got it? You say, how long is nigh? I don't know. How long is nigh in your mind? Nigh means close. It draweth nigh. I want you to look at that. But the main thing I want you to see out of this, it said, be also patient, establish your hearts. You know, it's a good thing to believe something in your mind, isn't it? To know in your mind. But it's a better thing to know something in your heart. Amen. I mean, just know it deep down. I'm talking about know it internal. I know it from the very beginning. And this is what this is talking about when it talks about establish your hearts. Establish your hearts. Now, that's what we're working on today. Now, you know the Lord's went away. Now, you know the Lord's coming back. Now, let's work on this point about establish your hearts in Romans chapter 10. How do you go about establishing your heart? Believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, that don't sound too hard, does it? That's what it's going to take. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That's a declaration saying that this word of God, through the power of the Holy Ghost that's preached here today, is close to you in your mouth and in your heart. You know, a lot of people say, do you think you're successful preaching? I said, I don't have to worry about that. That's God's job. I have to worry about bringing the word. That's what he sent me today. I'm just a messenger. You believe it or you don't. That's up to you. I don't have to make anybody do nothing. But you'll wish someday you did. And verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now when we start talking about establishing our heart, that's the way you do it. You confess with your mouth. You believe in your heart. I'm talking about believe way down. Not just kindly believe, but believe it. It said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the heart's the one that gets us belief unto righteousness. That helps us to live a better life. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's the way you establish your heart. That's the way you make it right with God. That's what prepares you for the eternal life with God forever. No sickness, no pain, no cripples, no blind. All of them be left in the grave. Praise the Lord. And if you think you're going to get by without meeting Jesus, I didn't meet him the first time. Thank God I'm going to meet him the second time. I don't have a doubt. This is going to happen. This is just as real to me as it's already happened. I believe it with my heart. And it's going to be something to look Jesus in the eye and say, yeah, you remember that day back at Miss White's potato field when I got off a tractor and got down the dirt and believed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and received him as my Savior. It's going to be good to look him in the face and be able to make that confession. I didn't have to come to this point to believe it. I've already believed it. I've already accepted it. That's what happened to me. Under conviction since Sunday morning service, an old preacher walked out and said, without Jesus, you'll burn in hell. I'd do the same thing this morning and be truthful about it. I thought he's talking about me. Boy, it struck me, the Holy Ghost, you know, made me mad. I thought that old man don't even know me and he's talking about me, but he didn't know me, but God did. And suffered with that till long about Wednesday. And we were farming back then, plowing potatoes. Jones' brother Lloyd was in the field and I was in the field. Sammy drug around and got there yet, of course. That's normal. As always, you know, he'd stop by Pete's to get his cocoa and moon pie, RC and moon pie. But me and Lloyd plowing and we were meeting back and forth in the field, back and forth, back and forth. And Lloyd was so happy he was whistling. I could hear him over the sound of the tractor. He was whistling. He just happy, everything, a beautiful morning, everything going well. And I'm sitting on that tractor and I'm lost. And I'm thinking, if I fall off this tractor and get run over and die, I'm on the way to hell. Tried to comfort myself. I thought, tried to think of some friends that, you know, if I went to hell, they might be there. Who would ever wish a friend to be in hell with them? But I was hunting any excuse. And I got thinking, well, I don't really like them people anyway. I just pulled a stop on my tractor. Diesel, you just pulled a stop out on it and it just chugged down to a stop. And I got off and just got down on my face in the dirt and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and be my Savior. I asked forgiveness for my sins. I didn't get up the same as I got down. I was a new creature. All things have become new. Eyes were open. I remember that day. We didn't plow anymore that day. We had a crop that needed plow, but it just didn't seem important. I mean, when your soul's delivered from hell, potato crop don't mean much, does it? Y'all understand that? All things will come new. Now I want you to be prepared. The Lord's gone away, but he's coming back. I'm not setting a date, but I'm telling you now, plain, it's going to happen. Knees will bow, tongue shall confess. Nobody's going to get by without it. And you're either going to confess that you're a believer in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or you shunned the Word of God and didn't accept. Everybody's got faith to believe. But now whether you do it or not, it's up to you. Let's have a verse for song. I've got some doctor appointments coming up pretty soon. I got one at the heart doctor. You know, I had a heart surgery a few years ago, and every year he wants me to come and have a meeting for a checkup. I'm sure some of y'all do that. I know some of you do, because we're kind of the zipper club around here. We've all had our chest open, or about half of us. We call it the zipper club. But I got thinking about being prepared. You know I've got a doctor's appointment coming up, you know, I usually know a date for it and a time to be there. And when I know I got a doctor's appointment coming up, if there's something I'm doing or something I've done that's not going to go well with that doctor, I try to kind of pick it up, you know. The last 2 or 3 weeks before I go to that doctor, I'm going to try to eat a little better. I'm going to try to be a little lighter. I'm going to try to walk a little bit. Don't y'all do the same thing? Don't everybody here do that? Seriously? Well, let me tell you, the Lord's coming back. You need to get better. You need to get things right. You got a problem? Fix it before he gets here. I'm going to try to get myself a little better shape, a little thinner, walk a little longer before I go to that heart doctor, because I want that checkup to go well. And I pray that God's, when God checks you up with Jesus, it'll go well. Sing a verse of song.